Are you ready for the Word this morning? I believe the Word has life-changing power in it. If we receive it and retain it, it'll bring forth a great harvest in our life. It'll have a huge impact on us. And you know what? Don't ever just come to hear the words of man. No, we come to worship God. We come to lift the Lord up and to glorify Him because He's so worthy. But we also come to hear from God. I believe the Lord always has something for each and every one of us. Even if the preacher doesn't preach just right, God can speak to your heart and give you just what you need. It depends on your heart. So let's pray and prepare our hearts. Father, we just thank you that you are so faithful to meet us here. And Lord, that you do speak today. And Father, we expect to hear from you. Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name that you'd help me to share your word as it ought to be today. And Father, that you have your way in our lives. Help us, Father, to understand the spiritual truths by the Holy Spirit. And Father, that we'll never be the same in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, for the last several weeks, we have not been in any kind of a series. And yet, I've just felt like God is taking us in a certain direction in these messages. And last week I shared with you the story of how Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead and how that he had already prayed before he got there. And when he got to the tomb, he prayed again, but he said, "Father, I thank you that you have already heard me." And we talked about how important it is in our prayer to believe we receive. And when we believe or receive, if we really believe that we receive, then it becomes a very natural thing to say thank you because we believe we receive. But there's something else that happened here, and so we're going to pick the story up again in John 11, 41 through 43. Now, how many of you brought your swords with you this morning? Hold them up. Oh, thank you. I see some phones and stuff too. That's all right. And I tell you, it's important that we love this book. Do you love the Word of God? I'll tell you, we need to cherish it. You know, the Bible says that when you receive the seed of the Word, it's those that cherish it. Well, you got to cherish the Word. You got to retain it. You got to hang on it. You got to love it. Amen. Well, if you got your Bible, John chapter 11, 41 through 43, Jesus says, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this that they may believe that you sent me." Listen, he's already prayed. He believes he receives. He's thanking God for it. But listen, he said that this was going to be for the glory of God. But nothing has happened yet. He knew it was already a done deal in the Spirit, but the miracle hasn't happened yet. And in verse 43, "Now when he said these things, he cried with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth!'" That's when the miracle manifested. That's when they saw the miracle. Lazarus came out of that tomb still bound, and Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." That's when it happened, though, was when Jesus declared those words of faith. He knew it was already done in the Spirit. He had already thanked the Father for it. But now is when you see it actually happen, is when he makes this declaration, and he does it in a loud voice. You know what? Sometimes we need to speak with boldness and authority. Now, I know that God's not deaf. I know that he can hear your prayer when you whisper. He can hear your prayer when you don't even say it out loud. But I'm telling you, there are times when we are speaking words of faith that we need to speak those words with boldness and authority. You know how I know that? Because Jesus did it. He cried with a loud voice. There's something very powerful about Jesus calling Lazarus out of the tomb. I want to tell you, when you have prayed and you believe that you receive and you thank God for it, there comes a time when you need to begin to speak words of faith. You need to begin to talk like it's done. You need to call it into being. You need to use your faith and the words of your mouth. Your words are very powerful. Listen, Lazarus rose, not when he prayed, not even when he thanked God for it. It was done in the spirit, but Lazarus rose when he spoke it. You see, we believed and prayed about this building because we believe that God wants to grow his church. We believe that Jesus is still saving people and Jesus is still building his church. And so we prayed and we believed and we said it. We're going to build a building with God's help. This building is going to happen. It didn't look like it sometimes, and other people said it would never happen. But we said it was going to happen. We were speaking it, and I'm telling you, God did it. And I'm saying it now. This building isn't full yet, but I'm telling you, this building is going to be full in Jesus' name. It's going to be so full, we're going to build another building. You know why? Because there's so many people that need to be saved. There's so many people that need the Lord. There's so many people that have known the Lord but are away from God and not close to Him and walking with Him anymore. And I'm telling you, Jesus said, I will build my church. And so I speak it over this church that He is building His church. We plant, we water, and God gives the increase. And we speak that. You see, we pray and we thank God, but we're also speaking those words of faith. That is our declaration of victory. Now, you know, you talk about people getting saved. Let me just remind you how people get saved. Romans 10, 9 and 10. It says, if you confess with your mouth, do we believe that? Well, it's the Bible. If we confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Well, God knows what's in my heart. I want to tell you something. You got to confess with your mouth too. Yes, you believe in the heart. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God who died for your sins and rose for your justification. But you also have to confess with your mouth. Jesus died for my sin. Verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You got to believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth. That's really and truly how you get saved. If somebody says, well, I believe it in my heart, but I ain't going to say it out of my mouth. They didn't get it yet. Because this is how it happens. It's when you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth. That's what the Bible says. Listen, if they don't even believe it enough to say it out of their mouth, they don't believe it. They don't really believe. Once you really believe, you can say it out of your mouth. Now, why do we understand this principle about salvation, but not about anything else, not about any of the rest of the promises of God? You see, when you really believe, you can say it out of your mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak. We believe, and therefore speak. We don't just talk to be talking. No, we believe. And because we believe, we speak. What do we speak? We speak words of faith. You know, in Mark chapter 11, Jesus cursed a fig tree. When they came back the next day, the fig tree had died, and the disciples were amazed. And here was Jesus' response. It's Mark 11, 22 through 24. He says, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Oh, there's such a faith deficit in our culture. I'm telling you, we need to have faith in God. He says, for I say to you, whoever saith to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. He says, if anybody says to this mountain, That includes you. He says, and believe in your heart. Now, I want you to understand something. This didn't happen so Jesus could teach us about cursing trees. This didn't happen so Jesus could teach us how to move some dirt. This happened because Jesus is teaching us how to have faith, how to believe God in your prayer life, and how to see those prayers come to pass. Listen, a lot of time, this is how people approach prayer. Well, okay, I'm going to pray. I'm going to tell God what I think he needs to do. And Jesus is telling us that if we can believe we receive, we'll have it. And you see, when you believe that it's done, when you believe in your heart that God is actually doing this, you can speak to that mountain and it will obey you. Doesn't matter what the circumstance is. Doesn't matter what the battle is, what it looks like. When you believe in your heart and you don't doubt, he says you can speak to the mountain and it will obey you. We need to learn to pray according to the will of God. We need to speak to the circumstances according to the will of God and declare our victory. You see, when we speak to the mountain, Jesus wasn't giving us some kind of a blanket statement that we can just have whatever we want. He wasn't telling us that we could just pray on a whim and believe on a whim. He's telling us that we can, if we have real faith, then we can speak to that mountain. I want to tell you something. Real faith comes when you're standing on the Word of God. Real faith has to be based on God's Word, not just on fantasy. But when we pray according to the Word of God, I'm telling you, we can declare our victory. It's so important that we believe and we speak. Now see, there's this real strong deception in our culture, even in religion in America, that words aren't really a big deal. I mean, I know those nutty preachers on TV say that, but that's just, you know, words aren't really a big deal. Well, you need to read the Bible then. I want to remind you of a verse we read last week in Numbers 14 and 28. The Lord says, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so will I do to you. What if God does to you just as you have spoken in his hearing? I'll tell you what, if people really believe that verse, there'd be a lot of repenting going on in the body of Christ, because there's been a lot of loose lips that sink ships, that mess up your life. But people want to act like that words don't really matter. What a deception. James 1:26 says this, if anyone among you thinks he's religious, now you know, we use that as a bad term in our day and time. It's not really, not scripturally. But let's just phrase it the way people would phrase it today. Anybody among you thinks that you're spiritual? You think you're spiritual? Well, here's what he says. And he doesn't bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart. This one's religion is useless. You see, when we don't watch the words of our mouth, when we don't put a bridle over the words of our mouth, the Bible says you have deceived your own heart. You're deceived. You think it doesn't matter what you say? You're deceived. And here's where it really gets tough. And your religion is useless. You think words don't matter? You're deceived. I'm telling you, we need to learn to speak words of faith and refuse to speak fear and doubt. Don't just talk the circumstances, but instead speak and believe what the Word says. There's power of death and life in the tongue. Proverbs 18:21. So you need to ask yourself, what are you bringing to life? What are you putting to death by the words of your mouth? Jesus talks about speaking to the mountain I want to tell you, there's a lot of people that have some battles, some obstacles, challenges in their life that they need to speak to in faith. They need to believe God and not doubt in their heart, but expect that what they're praying, what they're believing, what they're speaking will happen. You spoken to any problems lately? I know I'm messing with some of you because some of you are like, really? Really? Yes, really. Jesus said you could speak to that mountain. That's not just some crazy TV preacher. That's Jesus. You need to understand there's a reason that Jesus told us this. There's so much of this wimpy Christianity that thinks that, well, you know, God's not really doing any miracles anymore. We just kind of hang on and muddle through the best we can till He comes. That's not in the Bible. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm telling you, He wants His people to be a people of faith. Without faith, you can't please God. And the words coming out of your mouth need to be words of faith and victory. If they're not, you're undermining your own faith and your own life. Anybody got any physical problems? You know what? Everybody in here either has some health issues or you know people, you have friends and family that have health issues. Have you ever spoken to those physical problems? Do you speak to them? Well, that's just weird. Luke 4:38 and 39. He arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house, but Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made a request of him concerning her. So he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and served them. Now, the other Gospels just say that he touched her and she arose, but Luke, the doctor, just goes into more detail here. It's the same story, but he says that he rebuked the fever. How do you rebuke a fever? You talk to it. You say, leave. You have no right to be here. I command you to go. We do that in the name of Jesus. There's power in that name. Have you been rebuking fevers? We ought to be rebuking headaches, rebuking stomach viruses. We should be rebuking cancer. Why? Because Jesus gave us an example. He actually spoke to the fever. He rebuked it. I don't believe that. It's not going to work for you. When Jesus raised Jairus' daughter from the dead, and it's really interesting that both with Lazarus and also with Jairus' daughter, when they were dead, He refers to them as being asleep. You know why? It's words of faith, because He knew that this wasn't permanent. It's like they're just asleep. They're going to get back up. But with both Lazarus and Jairus' daughter, Jesus had this mentality that this is not the end, and it showed in the words that He said. Mark 5:41, it says that He took the child by the hand and He said to her, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." That's talking to a problem. "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Now, Peter was a good disciple. He learned from Jesus. And so Peter, in Acts 9:40, he raises a woman from the dead, and this is how it happened. He put everybody else out. Well, you know where he learned that? Jesus. Let me tell you something. You need a real miracle from God? Get the doubt out. You don't need people talking doubt and fear and unbelief around. Get them out. He put them all out, and then he knelt down and prayed. Praying. You got to pray. You got to pray. And when you believe, you receive. Here's what happens next. He said, "Tabitha, arise." She opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. That's talking to a problem. He said, "Tabitha, arise. I'm telling you, some of you have some situations in your life you need to speak to. You know, you can speak life back into a marriage. You can also speak death into a marriage. What are you saying by the words of your mouth? What power is coming out of your mouth? See, talk to your circumstances in faith. I know that sounds crazy, but let me tell you, I think crazy is to believe in an almighty God who can do anything, who loves us so much so that he gave his own son for us. How will he not freely along with him give us all things? How can we believe that there's an almighty God who loves us so much and yet he refuses to do miracles and to help his people? That's crazy. If believing God and expecting miracles and standing on the promises of Scripture is crazy, then I want to be crazy. You got to believe in your heart and say it with your mouth. Words spoken in faith have great power. That's how the world was created, by the words of his mouth. Now, faith comes from God's word. This next verse, I have shared this over and over and over. Romans 10:17. This is something that the church needs today, because there's so much doubt and skepticism, so much unbelief, even being preached by preachers. I'm telling you, we need to hear the word of God, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It's when we hear the word that we give ourselves the opportunity to believe. I'm saying it that way because you know what? You can hear the word and not believe anything. I mean, you can hear this message this morning and walk out and say, I don't believe that, and just reject it. But when you hear the word, it gives you the opportunity to believe. And the more times that you hear it, the more it helps you to get to that place where you really believe. And I think in the day and the time that we live in, we just need to saturate ourselves with the Word of God. We need to do what the psalmist did when he meditated in the Scripture day and night. We just need to keep feeding ourselves the good Word of God, because that's how faith comes. Faith is not just a fantasy. It is not just making stuff up. It is standing on the Word of God. And so when we hear the Word, that's where our faith comes. You know, the world says, well, I believe it when I see it. And that just sounds exactly like some believers. I use the term believer loosely. I'll believe it when I see it. Scripturally, this is how it works. I believe it when I hear it. Speaking of God's word only. But I believe it. When I hear the word of God, I believe it. I may not see it yet. See, I believe it when I see it. That's not faith at all. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Not seen. Don't require any faith to believe something you're looking at. I believe it when I hear it. When I hear the word of God, that's how faith comes. And oh, how we need to believe God, to have faith and to trust him more. It's really powerful when you believe in your heart and you start saying it out of your mouth. See, are you praying according to the will of God? Or are you just praying according to your will? We can't possibly believe that God will answer our prayer when we're praying contrary to his will. We're asking him to do things that are not his will. I'm telling you, if you want to believe God in your prayer life, you got to pray according to the will of God. In fact, the Bible makes this very clear in 1 John 5:14-15. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we have asked of him. You see, so when you know you're praying according to the will of God, you know that God is going to answer your prayer. That's how you have confidence. That's how you can believe you receive, because you're praying according to the will of God. And when you pray according to the will of God and you believe that you receive, then you need to speak it out of your mouth. You need to declare victory in that situation. Listen, speak according to the Word of God. See, how can you know the will of God? From the Word of God. Over and over and over, the Scripture lays out for us the will of God in His Word. And when you pray according to the Word of God, you're praying according to the will of God. But we got to get our speech lined up with God's Word. In Joshua 1:8, the Lord gives Joshua a formula for victory, to be successful and prosperous in the task that He had given him to do, to lead God's people into the promised land. And the first step towards victory, do not let this book of the law depart out of your mouth. Now I want you to understand, this wasn't the only thing. He also says, meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written therein. Then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. But most people never even get out of the gate. Most people never even take the first step towards victory, because the first step towards victory is that you get your mouth in line with the Word of God. Don't let this book of the law depart out of your mouth. Most Christians, their mouths are just flapping. They're saying all kinds of fear and doubt and unbelief. At best, they're just speaking the circumstances. And what we're supposed to be saying is the Word of God. Speaking words of faith, believing that God's Word is true. I know this is not microwavable Christianity. I know this is not the easy, cheesy religion that's so prevalent in our day. This is believing God and believing enough to actually say it out of your mouth. And where so many people get an error with a good confession is they just make stuff up that's not based on the Word. I want you to hear me now. That is just wishful thinking. That's not faith. Some people are so full of pride and they boast about, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. That's not faith. That's presumption. In fact, if you have your Bible, you turn over to James chapter 4, verse 13 through 16, it says this, come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we'll go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. And there it is. He tells us, we got to know it's God's will. Listen, if you know it's God's will, you're praying about this, and it becomes clear to you, you know this is God's will, then you can declare it. But I'm telling you, when we just on our own say, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, that's just boastful bragging before the Lord. It's pride. It's not faith. And a lot of the time when people have taught this type of a message, I know that it's come across that way where you can just say anything you want. I'm not telling you you can just make stuff up. I'm telling you that you got to speak the Word of God. I'm telling you that your faith has to be based on God's Word. You have to be speaking the will of God. Not just your will, but His will. When we just boast, we're allowing pride to get in. There's a story from the Scripture that just shows this so plainly, the pride and the boasting of man, and how, instead, to declare your victory by faith. It's the story of David and Goliath, and it's in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And I'm not going to read the whole story to you. There's a lot there. But David got ready to go and to face Goliath. He got 5 stones from a brook and he put them in his shepherd's bag, and he drew near the Philistine. And the Bible says that as he drew near, he hurried and he ran towards Goliath. And I want to tell you that if you've got some giants in your life, you need to face them. Quit waiting. Don't fool around. Run towards them. Face them head on in faith. That's what David did. But the Philistine spoke to David, and I want you to listen to his words from 1 Samuel 17:44. It says, "And the Philistine said to David, 'Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field.'" He was bragging. He was boasting in his prideful arrogance, just like a lot of people do today. Pride goes before destruction. Verse 45. "Then David said to the Philistine, 'You come to me with a sword and a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you, and this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands.'" You see, this was not boastful bragging or arrogance on David's part. No, David said over and over, "It's the Lord who's going to do this. The Lord will give you into our hands. God will be glorified. Everybody's going to know that there's a God." You see, David knew that it was not God's will for this giant to come out and to taunt and make fun of the people of God. He knew that it was God's will that this victory happen, that this battle be turned. And he went out, and I want you to hear this now, he made a declaration of faith. He declared his victory. It wasn't pride or arrogance. It was faith that God was going to come through for him. And he spoke those words out of his mouth. Now listen to me. It happened exactly the way David said it. He makes a declaration of faith. "For the Lord, I will smite thee and take thine head from thee." I like that verse in the King James. Sounds like bragging and arrogance. But he said, "The Lord will give you into our hands." He was bragging on God. He was boasting on the Lord. And God was glorified. I'm not talking about us boasting in ourselves and bragging and pride about I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I'm talking about speaking words of faith. And when you know it's the will of God and you've prayed and you believe you receive and you thank God for it, then it's time to make that declaration of victory that God has given this into our hands. Pride of man will always boast in his own ability. We need to be careful to be humble and brag on God, boast in the Lord, and give him all the glory. The Word of God is so full of blessings and promises and truths that you can speak over your life and your family and your situation. I'm just going to get you started just a little bit this morning. 1 John 5:1, "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." Listen, when you put your trust in him, not just with a mental assent, but you put your trust in him, you believe that Jesus is the one that paid the price for your sin, you believe that Jesus is the Christ, then you are born of God. That's what it means to be born again. You're actually born of him in the Spirit. He is your Father. You're his son. You're his daughter. And I'm telling you, you need to declare that over your life. It's the Word of God and it's the will of God. I believe Jesus is the Christ, so I am born of him. 2 Peter 1 and 4 says, by these exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Do you realize you have a new nature? You got to appropriate the promises, but I'm telling you, you're a born-again child of God if you believe in Jesus. It's time for you to act like it. You need to believe and start speaking it out of your mouth. Don't say, well, you know, my family, my mom has a bad temper, and my uncle and my grandfather and blah, blah, blah. Bad temper just runs in my family. That's just the way I am. You are speaking death over your life. You need to start speaking the word over your life and saying, I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's not me anymore. I'm a new creation in Christ. That's the way my old family was. I have a new family now. I'm a partaker of His divine nature. That's not arrogance. That's bragging on God. That's what the Word of God says about you. In fact, this next two verses, I tell you, this will just help you a whole lot if you really get a hold of it. It's Galatians 5, 22 and 23. It says, the fruit of the Spirit. Do you have the Spirit? Do you have the Spirit of God? You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible says. The Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Wow. That's your nature as a child of God. The Spirit is inside of you, and that's what He produces in your life. And when you see fruit that's not like that in your life, you need to start speaking words of faith over your life. I have the fruit of the Spirit. I have love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Man, when I'm driving in traffic, I don't get mad and agitated. I'm long-suffering. Oh, man, it just got real, didn't it? I'm not rash and rough with my family. I have gentleness. We say things like, well, you know, I've tried so hard to lose weight, and man, you know, I know what my problem is. I eat too much. I'm going to tell you what your problem is. It's your mouth. And not just because you're putting too much in it. It's because of the words that are coming out of your mouth. Instead, you need to say, I have self-control. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And listen, I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching more to me than you right now, because I'm telling you, Thanksgiving's still happening for me. I'm still eating pie. You know what I'm saying? Man, has it been good. But I'm changing my confession. You know what? We struggle and we strive and we try this and we try that, and I'm telling you, it's all the efforts of man. How about if we use our faith and we believe what the Bible says? As a child of God who's born of the Spirit, I have the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. I can control my eating. I just can't help it. Now, some people really like that fantasy faith. And I want to just nail this down, because I'm telling you, it messes people up. I'm not talking about fantasy faith where you just make stuff up. See, watch this. Well, I look like Daniel Craig. That's my confession. In Jesus' name, I look like Daniel Craig. That was the last James Bond, in case you didn't know. My wife doesn't know. I had to tell her. So anyway, Daniel Craig. I even got the blonde hair. I look just like Daniel Craig. In Jesus' name, I'm going to look more and more and more like Daniel Craig. That's baloney. That is pure baloney. Here's what you can confess. According to Romans 8, 29, I am being conformed into the image of His dear Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Every day, I'm becoming a little bit more like Jesus. Here's what you can declare, 1 John 4, 17, as He is, so are we in this world. I'm becoming Jesus more and more each and every day. That's a good confession. That's a confession that you can say in faith according to the Word of God. Philippians 1, 6, that the one who began a good work in me is still performing it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm confident of this. He who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You see, there's a confession of faith that you can make over your loved ones when they know the Lord, but they're not serving God. Start speaking that over them. I'm confident that the one who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Here's one that we need to get that just will free you up and make such a difference in your life. You need to know and you need to confess with your mouth that you are righteous. Now, don't go to your job or your school and tell people you're righteous. They're not going to understand this. But I'm talking about what God has done. We know that we cannot be self-righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. It is a righteousness by faith. It is a righteousness that happens because you believe. Just like Abraham believed God and it was credited to him for righteousness, we believe in what God has done and we are made righteous. And when you know that you're righteous, why are you righteous? No, not because you've been good, not because you went to church three times this month. Because Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin. He took your place so that you could be made righteous, so that you could stand before God right with Him. God looks at you, He doesn't see your sin and all of your failures and faults and flaws, but He sees righteousness as though you had done right. That's what He sees, and because you are righteous, there are so many promises and blessings that belong to you from the Scripture. Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. You got some affliction in your life right now? Well, here is your declaration of victory. The Lord delivers me out of them all. Proverbs 13:25, the righteous eats to the satisfying of his soul, but the stomach of the wicked shall be in want. I don't know why that scripture just really speaks to me. Have you ever had that thing where you eat and eat and eat and you still feel hungry? Some of you need to get this one with me. I know, I'm not the only one here. The righteous eats to the satisfying of his soul. I'm going to declare that over my life. That when I eat, I'm satisfied. I don't have to keep stuffing myself. The stomach of the wicked shall be in want. That's not me, Lord. Proverbs 20:7, the righteous man walks in his integrity and his children are blessed after him. Why are you righteous? Because of what Jesus did. And you know what that means? If I'm righteous, my children are blessed after me. I speak it over my children. The seed of the righteous will be blessed. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as lions. See, if you get a hold of the fact and you start saying out of your mouth, I am righteous before God because of Jesus, then it'll make you bold in your faith. It'll make you bold in your walk with God. There's so many people that are fearful, even though nobody's pursuing. Now, we're supposed to be bold as lions, but we need to declare our victory. Listen, so many Christians struggle with some sin or addiction in their life. Did you know that's not God's will? Y'all are real quiet right now. Now, somebody needs to say, yes, I knew that. Did you know it's not God's will for you to constantly be struggling with sin and addiction? No, that's not His will. In fact, in 1 John, it says that if we really know Him, we're really born of Him, we can't stay in sin. Now, the enemy will twist that around on you, and he'll try to make you think, well, I must not be born again, because, man, I sure am struggling. Let me tell you, you need to declare your victory over sin. You need to, by faith, declare victory. Here's how. Romans 6:11, it says, likewise, also reckon yourselves, count yourselves dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. See where it comes to sin? Like a dead person. But when it comes to God, man, I'm alive. You need to count it. You need to speak it over yourself. I'm dead to sin, but alive to God. Here's another one from the same chapter. It's verse 18. And having been set free from sin, you became the slaves of righteousness. Speak that, declare that over your life. I'm no longer a slave of sin. I've been made free from sin, and I'm a slave to righteousness. Start speaking that over your life. See, now some of you, you know those verses, and you've been praying, and you want to do right. You want to be free, but you're trying to do it in your own willpower. Instead, you do it by faith in what God has already done. What if I'm just too weak? Well, Joel 3:10 says, let the weak say, I'm strong. Quit saying I'm too weak and start saying Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. See, we're talking about speaking faith. Stop speaking what is and what has been and all your failures and all your mistakes. Stop speaking doubt and unbelief and start speaking words of faith from the Word of God. Declare your victory over depression. The joy of the Lord is my strength. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus said that He wanted my joy to be full. I'm not going to allow depression to stay in my life anymore. I got the joy of the Lord. Get your victory. Declare your victory over stress. When I feel stressed, I pray about it and I thank God. And the peace of God that passes understanding guards my heart and my mind. Jesus said, I give you peace. My peace I give to you. I receive that. I declare that I have the peace of Jesus. Instead of that pill you've been taking, try this. I have the peace that Jesus gives. I have the peace that Jesus gives. You might need to say it 100 times, but you can get victory. Declare your victory by faith. He heals all my diseases. Psalm 103, verse 3, get victory over sickness by declaring the Word of God. Some who have addiction, you need to know. You need to start declaring, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You need to keep declaring it until you see it. What if it doesn't work for me? What if I fail? What if I'm too weak? Listen, all of that is nothing more than fear. You know, a lot of people, they don't want to ever own up to having any fears at all. They want to act like they don't have fear. That's fear. That's what that is. Now, some people, you know you got a problem with fear. Did you know God didn't give you the spirit of fear? And you need to make this declaration over your life from 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Listen, that fear, it's not from God. God didn't give you that. He didn't give you a spirit of fear. No, He gave you a spirit of power. Do you have a spirit of power? Yes. 10 of you. See, you got to get this. This is who you are. This is who God made you to be. You need to believe and speak it out of your mouth. I don't have a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power. And of love, always love, and we love everybody. Now we need that in our world. And a sound mind. Now, all the other modern translations say self-discipline, and I want you to understand it's really the same thing if you understand what he's talking about, because when he says a sound mind, he's talking about not being double-minded. You see, a lot of people are double-minded. Well, you know, when the Scripture talks about double-minded, it was talking about saying you believe and then not believing. And a lot of people, they're so double-minded, they go this way and that way, and they say they're going to do this, and then they don't. They do this instead. They start out this direction, and then they go and do this instead. Double-minded. No, being of a sound mind means that you're focused. And that's what self-discipline is. Focused. I got a spirit of self-discipline. I'm going to get where God wants me to be. I'm going to do what God wants me to do because I'm self-disciplined. Sound mind. Speak it over your life. Declare your victory. Not fantasy faith. Not just on a whim, a wish, but by the Word of God. And I'm telling you, the Word is full of promises and blessings and principles that you can declare in faith over your life. I want to close with this, just remind you of the story of the children of Israel. When they march around the walls of Jericho 6 times, and on the 7th day, they march around 7 times, and the Lord told them that they were to shout. In fact, on the 7th time, when the trumpets sounded, they did exactly that. They shouted, and all of the walls fell down. I'm telling you, there are some things that happen in the spirit, and things that happen in this world, that's a breakthrough. Many times it happens when we speak out of our mouth words of faith. And sometimes you need to do it boldly. Sometimes you need to do it like Jesus and cry with a loud voice. But I'm telling you, when you do it, it comes from faith. Well, you know that it's already done in the Spirit, and you're just declaring the victory. And when you do, oh, it's amazing how God moves and God works. He spoke the worlds into being this way. You see, a lot of religious people don't understand how God works. They just need to read the Bible. He spoke and it happened. And I'm telling you, as He is, so are we to be in this world. He wants us to bring His kingdom and His will in this world. And we do that when we pray and then we speak what He says. I want you to stand with me, and I want our prayer partners to come. And as we dismiss this morning, I just encourage you, whatever prayer need you may have, maybe you've been in a battle for a long time, God loves you, and He has an answer. He has a miracle for you. I really do believe that. He's not just left us to struggle on our own, but God cares, and He wants to do a miracle in your life. We need to believe Him and trust Him. Father, I just pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that those that are here this morning with needs in their life, I pray, Father, that faith will rise in their heart, and Lord, that they'll begin to rise up in the victory that You have for them. Lord, they'll not be held down by fears and doubts and unbelief any longer, but Lord, the Word of God, knowing the truth of Your Word, will set them free. In Jesus' name, I thank You for it. Amen. Amen. Listen, just before you go, I just want to tell you, these people down here are people who can pray the prayer of agreement with you. They're going to speak over you the Word of God. They're going to believe with you the Word of God. And Jesus said, where two or three agree together as touching anything, it shall be done for them of My Father in heaven. So I encourage you, this is a powerful time of prayer. As I dismiss the congregation, if you need prayer, you come. The Lord bless you. I got to tell you, church, I'm speaking. I'm declaring over you today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.